take your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Title of our lesson tonight is This Know. Let me read to you before we get to 2 Timothy chapter 3 from the book of Revelation chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted." That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I mean, you know, they have endured. They hate the acts of evil. They've been patient. But verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." I think it's a dangerous situation for a church to be in, where they have gone in a different direction. And verse 5 says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works." Now that verse does not end there. It continues, "Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of this," or his place, "except thou repent." If the church is not sending forth the light, then it is absolutely useless. We need to make sure that the Covenant Baptist Church continues to send forth the light. David M. Levy writes, "People who serve Satan may not realize what they are doing. But if they distort, oppose, twist, or deny the true gospel, they are indeed serving Satan." That is what the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:26, "In that thou may recover yourselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will." It is also what the Lord Jesus Christ said of people captured by the evil one's subtle lies from the very beginning of time. Jesus said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it." Unquote. Levy continues in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, which we will read shortly. "Paul impressed on his young disciple Timothy that such evil will not soon pass away. Rather, it will grow worse in the last days." These nine verses describe the conditions, conduct, and deceptive character of the men Timothy would encounter both outside the church and within the church. What he said applies to all Christians today and describes what we will encounter in the future. Again, unquote. So if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse number 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather together on this Sunday night, both live and those who are watching online, we pray, Lord, that it will be a time in which we will be encouraged to stand firm and not to be led astray down these many side trails that we have just read about. Give us strength and encouragement, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Conditions of the last days. Paul wrote, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." The phrase, "This know also," commands Timothy to remember what Paul was about to say. Don't forget it. You know, how many times have we heard something and within moments we have forgotten what it was all about? You know, we find many times that people are only partially listening. According to the scripture, the last days for the church, not Israel, began with the first coming of Jesus the Messiah and will culminate at the rapture when the church is caught up from earth, meets the Lord in the air, and is transported to heaven. And many believe that we are nearing that time in which the church will be raptured. Therefore, the phrase last days does not refer to chronological time like the ticking of a clock or the days of a calendar, but rather to seasons or epochs of time throughout the church age. Now, we just read about the church of Ephesus, and many believe they were that first period of the church age. And many believe that the church is nearing the time of Laodicean time, in which Christ will return soon. And I, to be quite honest, I'm ready. No prophecy must be fulfilled for the rapture to occur. Christ's coming is imminent. Can I ask you a question? Do you think he can come tonight? He can come tonight. He can come before the Detroit Lions ever win a football game. I was driving over to church and I heard the excitement. They had gotten the onside kick and they were going to move down the field and scored a touchdown. And wow, all they needed was to get another onside kick. Well, they didn't make it, but then they got the ball back because of a fumble. And you think, wow, this could not be planned any better than in Hollywood even. But what's that saying? SOL. Same old Lions. But the Lord could come before our church celebrates its 65th anniversary. He could come. Or it could be another 5 or 6 years. We do not know. Paul called the last days perilous, meaning exceedingly dangerous, painful, grievous, and hard to bear. Some believe that it won't just be for Christians that it'll be perilous, but it will be for society itself. Now, folks, let me just say something here. We have some corporations and some companies that are mammoth, that are huge, and we really don't know how large they are. But one thing we do know is that money rules. And we have companies that are behind a lot of what's going on in our society. And so there could be much pain for all on planet Earth. The same word was used to describe the two maniacs from Gerasenes, a small place on the Sea of Galilee across from Tiberias, who were fierce and demon-possessed, perilous times. In the verses that follow, Paul underlined the inspiration, or under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gave Timothy a detailed picture of what people will be like then. And I can tell you this, they're like it today. We are seeing the description that we just read played out in people today. And I do believe, folks, there are a lot of demon-possessed people in our society. And they are corrupting our society and taking us down many wrong trails. Although apostasy exists within the universal church today, it will grow much worse as the church age draws to a close, prior to the Great Tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 2, chapters, verses 3 and 4 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Can I say this? I've seen a falling away from the church in the last decade. It's unbelievable how many people have just totally forgotten that the church is something that the Lord loves. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Times that lay ahead are going to be very stressful. Paul provided 19 ungodly, profane characteristics people will exhibit in that time and told believers how to respond. So how are you to respond? From such, turn away. We must avoid such people and reject their lifestyles. And sometimes that's difficult to simply say, we will not be sharing time with you anymore. Charlatans in the last days. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 and 7, Paul described evil teachers within the church, as well as people who fall for their lies, as we read there in verses 6 and 7. Any number of commentators believe that these silly women, and there are no silly women here tonight, right? I don't want to offend anybody. But these silly women are those who will and have already fallen for the deceitful lies, declaring that they are the true leaders of families, that their bodies make it their choice when it comes to pregnancy. And then there is the ever-increasing number of lesbians that are flooding our society. We are living in a society that has been taken over. As the Bible says, they will fall prey to all types of sin and lust, making them easy prey. The charlatans will use all kinds of cunning trickery and winsome personalities to convert them to their ungodly beliefs. And one of the main tools being used today is social media. Ladies, gentlemen, be careful what you're watching and taking into your lives through our cell phones and our computers. I mean, everything on the internet is not true. Everything that comes across your phone is not true. A final thought. Such women blindly surrender their wills to these false teachers and are held captive, unable to break from them. False teachers have corrupted minds and are to be rejected as worthless reprobates. My dad, a number of times, used this illustration that society has endured evil men. even right from the beginning when Cain killed his brother. Society has survived evil men. But God said, my dad said, will society be able to survive evil women? And folks, it's getting to the point where we're seeing an awful lot of that in today's world. Many believe that it is evident that we are living in the last days and that circumstances will grow even worse in the near future. Delusions and deception are everywhere. And as Christians, we must be aware of the times in which we live. Now, in just a moment, we're going to look at 19 characteristics of people in the last days. But folks, we have people today that all they really care about in their life is that they have enough money to survive. They don't care about anything else. But there are a lot of Christians in our world today that have very little. And they are struggling. And that could come here. So, number one, lovers of our own selves, Paul says. It says, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Self-love heads the list of sins because human nature is always selfish. All evil desires spring from the craving to satisfy self. And so we'll find lovers of self. They'll be covetous, lovers of money, and yearning to have all kinds of things, and they will drive themselves crazy with the accumulation of much. Boasters, it says there in verse 2. People will brag continually and heap on themselves virtues and prestige they do not desire. Me first, me second, and me last. It's all about me. And you know people like that who, when you talk to them, it's all about them. Their family, their house, their children, their grandchildren. If you try to put anything into the conversation, they immediately direct it back to themselves. Number four, proud or haughty. They will be puffed up with their own importance. Proud of their achievements, possessions, and positions. They will look down on others with disdain, considering themselves superior. You know, our Lord was humble, and he humbled himself. And we need to realize that we need to be humble in the sight of the Lord. Verse 2 also says, blasphemers. Their language will be offensive, abusive, rude, vulgar, and hurtful. And they will happily slander God and others. Number 6, they'll be disobedient to parents. We're finding a lot of that in our world today, aren't we? There is a constant desire to buy our children's love. The fact is, parents need to teach their children to behave. They will disregard parental authority, something we see happening all too often today. The lack of parental guidance, control, and discipline will create a society filled with rebellious children who have no respect of authority. That's one thing about today's TV. We find all too many programs that show children as if they have more sense than their parents. And they have more sense than those in authority. Also, rebellious children will be unthankful, which is the next one, number 7, unthankful. They will be completely unappreciative of all they receive from God, from parents, teachers, coaches, employers, government benefits, etc. They will simply believe that they deserve it. Don't we live in a society like that? I deserve it? What do you mean I can't have it? Also in verse 2, we find unholy. They will have no respect for God, the Bible, or anything sacred, and will be disrespectful and scornful of those who desire to live a holy life. Then in verse 3, without natural affection, unloving. The phrase without natural affection is the translation of one word that was described as family love. The family is under attack these days. And so goes, so as goes the family, so goes the church, and so goes the nation. In place of natural love that God has put into men and women and families, today we have a good deal of natural love that God has condemned. And we find that the homosexual movement is gaining leaps and bounds. It is a confusion. And God will judge it. And can I say this? This is from Paul Madonna. That if God does not bring judgment on America soon for our tolerance of it, he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah because he judged them for that very sin. Number 10, truce breakers. Truce breakers, they describes people who will not try to agree. Do you know someone who disagrees on everything? Whatever side you take, you know they're going to take the other side. You know it. They are unyielding and incorrigible and must have their own way. Number 11, false accusers. They're slanderers. In order to defend their position, they become slanderers and try to tear down the reputations of others. This goes on outside the church, and unfortunately, it goes on within the church as well. The desire to be in control leads people to be truce breakers and false accusers. Incontinent. Well, we probably all know what that means. I mean, when we talk about an older person who is incontinent, it means without self-control. Now, I don't think that's what the apostle was meaning when he said they were incontinent. It was meaning that they were without control of their lives. The motto of today's society is do your own thing. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we what? We die. Sadly, children often struggle with their parents' lack of self-control. We need to realize that our actions are being watched by our children, and now that I'm a grandpa, by our grandchildren. They're watching us. Number 13, fierce. The lack of self-control reveals itself in a number of ways, one being fierce, which means untamed and or brutal. When people cannot have their own way, they become much like a savage beast. Fierce, Paul said, will happen in the last days. Again in verse 3, despisers of them that are good. Literally, no love. They will hate everything that is good, including people, laws, and standards, and oppose anything good in society. Instead of honoring what is good, they despise what is good and honor that which is evil. In society today, the standards of right and wrong have been twisted, if not destroyed. But never forget Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good, and good evil. Even back in Isaiah's day, there were those who were despisers of them that are good. In verse 4, we find that they're traitors. They will break and betray promises, trust, and confidences, even though doing so jeopardizes their lives or families. They cannot be trusted. Traitors. They'll be heady. You know, that's an interesting thought as you read this, heady. But it means they are headstrong. They will act irrationally and recklessly without thinking of the consequences to themselves and or others. Sometimes they call them strong-willed children. But the fact is that any should be taught how to behave. Verse 4 continues, high-minded. They are haughty, puffed with pride, egotistical, full of conceit and self-love. No one will be able to tell them anything. They think they know it all. You know anybody like that? But it will grow in the last days. Number 18, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We live in an entertainment-driven society. In their unbridled desire for pleasure, they will be wholly controlled and absorbed by self-gratification. God will have no priority in them. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Number 19, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Despite all these characteristics, some will try to maintain a form of godliness. Folks, there are those who come to the Covenant Baptist Church that put on a good front. But they're not interested in what we're teaching. They're not interested in the doctrines of the church or the Bible or of God. They're just putting on a good front. They have a form of godliness. They may try to appear godly to others, but will be utterly devoid of true righteousness. They will teach lies, deceive others, and have no power that comes from God. And that is dangerous when it is a pastor who has that, a form of godliness. Having a form of godliness suggests an outward appearance of religion, not true Christian faith. For they will have never experienced the power of God in their lives. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now the reason my sermon ended is it stopped right on the end of page five. But there is one last verse that I want to read. Verse 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Now, Paul has told them what is coming. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Folks, this precious old book needs to be a part of our lives. It needs to be part of our church. It needs to be what we use to keep ourselves on track so that we can faithfully serve the Lord. Shall we stand together? We'll sing a verse of invitation. I have decided to follow Jesus. I hope it's a decision that all of us have made. And that we will faithfully do it. 470 is the page number if you need that. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this invitation time. Lord, strengthen us to remain faithful to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.